Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise.
We give you glory. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. We are ready. We are also willing. God be the glory. You have made us willing. It is God that worketh in us but to will and to perform of his good pleasure. The Lord is working in us. It's the one that is making us to will. We thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory. The Lord is good. As always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine into our hearts, even on today, in the name of Jesus, that we will receive the word of the Lord, as it is indeed the word of the Lord, and not the word of man. God be the glory. Let your name be glorified, even as we prepare our hearts for this conference, Lord. We prepare our hearts, Lord. Help us, O Lord, as we make preparation. Prepare us, O Lord. Prepare us for a sanctuary, for a testimony, for a sacrifice, for a living witness in the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. God be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, good morning. Good afternoon again. Praise the Lord. Would you believe it? Our September to Remember conference is just around the corner. As a matter of fact, by tomorrow, some people will be arriving already at the conference center. That tells you just how close it is. And we are so fired up and so ready. The Lord is still,
trying to get us in the zone, with some words that can help us get ready and build expectation and so on.
So that's what today's message is going to be about. September to Remember. We're using S2R as an abbreviation for that. September to Remember. Expectations. Times of refreshing from the Lord. The Lord gave me a word. I put it in the chat room for us. And he's asking, actually telling us, instructing us to be ready, because the Lord is going to visit us in the times of refreshing that's coming from the Lord. Let's talk about times of refreshing and some expectations from the Lord for this great conference that we've been talking about. Yes, indeed, it is our first on-the-ground conference together like that. Despite the fact that it's, it has small beginnings, the scripture says in Job 8 and 7 that the beginnings may be small, but the endings shall greatly increase. So, we may be surprised what the Lord is going to do through this conference, but in order for us to really get everything that the Lord is going to do through the conference, we're going to have to be in expectation. So, today let's talk about some expectations. We've listened to the word of the Lord about the things that the Lord said he will do. Let's talk about some expectations. Let's talk about times of refreshing. This is what some of the things that we should be looking forward to and expecting from the Lord. The times of refreshing are spoken of in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Peter on the day of Pentecost, when people wondered what they might do, he said, repent ye and be converted. So for us, it's also a matter of sanctify yourselves and be ready. Sanctify yourselves and be ready. What exactly does that mean? Well, it means prepare your mind, set yourself apart, get away from or put aside, put away distractions. That's the proper way to say it. Put away distractions. Focus, you know, and set your heart on seeking the Lord to get the most out of the conference. Praise the Lord. Since it's our first conference, that's why we're speaking a lot about it in this last few days. You know, so that because people perhaps don't even know what to expect. Repent ye therefore and be converted. He said that your sins may be blotted out. Well, let's say it this way. The Lord said it to me this way this morning. He said, sanctify yourselves and be ready. You know, for the Lord shall visit you when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord at the September to Remember conference. That's exactly how he said it to me. So I knew that there was a scripture like this, you know, times of refreshing. And so I looked it up. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Let's talk about the why we may need refreshing. You know, what does refreshing even mean? I mean, there are many ways and many uses of the word refreshing, you know, that we can think about. You yourself, what comes to mind when you think of refreshing? Well, you might get a, what they call a refreshing drink. You know, you may get that and other things that may be refreshing. There are many, if you look it up in the dictionary, there are many meanings, something that is, you know, pleasantly new, some idea, some action, you know, you might say, oh, that's a refreshing thought. That's a refreshing idea. You know, some new thing, or even some new attitude, you know, that's different from the normal. You know, that's a refreshing. You say, wow, that's a refreshing thing. And also in terms of energy, it can be thought of as something that helps to restore or replenish, you know, energy. When we talk of rest, for instance, rest can be refreshing. Every time you take rest, it can be a means of refreshing the body. And God programmed the body like that. And Jesus recognized that too. There's at least one place where he actually told his disciples to take some time off. Now that will be refreshed. He said here in Mark chapter 6 verse 31, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. Why did he say? For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. There was a lot of things going on. And they didn't even have time to settle down and eat. They had to, you know, do the people, attend to the people, do this and that. And they were getting, they could be getting burnt out. And Jesus recognized that. Burnout is a dangerous thing. And it has no respect for the reason why you are burnt out. You can be burnt out, you know, because you are doing the work of the Lord, just as you can be burnt out by doing some other stuff. It has no relevance to the Lord at all. You know, we have to use wisdom. And, but even along with that, the Lord will, you know, sometimes supernaturally enable or strengthen. And we see that the angel of the Lord strengthened Jesus, you know, after his encounter with the devil in the wilderness, after his fasting and all of that. You know, he withstood the devil with the word of God. The devil left him for a season. The angel of the Lord came and strengthened him, you know, and so on. The angel of the Lord came and strengthened him in the garden when he was praying until blood was coming out of his head. You know, he himself received times of refreshing, you know, from an angel of the Lord that strengthened him. You know, there's also, you know, times of refreshing, spiritually speaking, you know, that we will talk about today. But before then, let's also consider seasonal times of refreshing. There are seasonal, there could be seasonal times of refreshing. Sometimes you can have a harsh, a very, very harsh season, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, another season rolls in, which might be better. You may have very, very harsh winter, you know, and when that begins to go away, then when the spring starts to come in, it's refreshing, you know. Or it may be very, very harsh, brutal summer that you have, such as we do here in Arizona. And then when that begins to fade away, it's kind of refreshing, you know, to begin to go into the early stages of the fall. It's refreshing. So there's many ways that we can view that refreshing. You know, those are even natural things, you know. But what about when we talk about refreshing in a spiritual context? You know, like this verse that we quoted out of, what might it mean? Well, think of examples where people have been through a lot or are going through a lot, like burdens and different things like that. You know, if the Lord would, you know, send something to alleviate their situation or a deliverer, for instance, you might think of that as a refreshing, you know, because people, you know, have been in this thing, you know, so long. They've been in this depressed state. They've been under this burden for so long, you know, and so on. So when we talk about refreshing like that, it means it's like a gift from God to restore the weary soul, you know, bring spiritual renewal. Well, it starts by, in this case, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, in this case, Peter was talking to the crowd. And for them, he said, it will start by your repentance. Now, repentance means turn back to God from your old and evil ways. Get away from that, turn to God. Do a 180. Well, for us also, those of us who have repented from the sin nature, well, there's still a drawing back to God that is necessary for times of refreshing. You know, refreshing. And the way the Lord is putting it to us today, to sanctify ourselves. Get yourself ready. Make yourself ready. Make yourself available also, you know, for the Lord, because He's going to visit us. You know, so these are expectations that we set. Spiritual renewal is coming. You know, this is one of the things that we are looking for. The psalmist talk about, restored my soul. You know, the Lord restores my soul. Psalm 23, you know, and so forth. It said, the Lord leads me beside still waters and restores my soul. That's a time of refreshing. When the soul is famished, in Psalm 102, it talks about his soul being famished. You know, he said, you know, in some places, my tears have been my meat all day, all night long. You know, I'm like a pelican in the wilderness. I feel like an owl in the desert. I feel like a sparrow on the housetop. I feel all alone. It's a so burden, you know. And the soul is down. Then he begins to encourage his soul. You know, I told that in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6 that his soul was greatly distressed because the people thought of stoning him, the story in Ziklag. You know, and wow. How he tried to stir up refreshing for himself in that case was actually by encouraging himself in the Lord. You know, so we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. The Lord, or the Lord can also send encouragement directly to us. Today, the Lord is sending encouragement to us that times of refreshing are coming from the presence of the Lord. But we got to be in expectation
you know, there's something that's going to flow from the Lord. But we got to be ready to catch it. That's the expectation part, you know. When God says it is time, it's time to pour out a blessing. Jesus lamented over some cities in his days. He said, if you only knew, you know, what the days, what belongs to the days of your peace, time of your visitation. You don't know these things, you know, and that's why you miss out on a lot of things. You know, the crane, we're told, and the turtle, and the things, you know, the birds of the air and all these things, they even know their time. Nature, you know, nature knows many things. The stock of the heaven and all these things. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 7. They know their times. They know how to do. If you watch nature and the birds, how they migrate, and the fish, how they migrate, and so on. You know, they just know. You know, it's wired in them. At certain times of the year, they know it's time to migrate. They know it's time. They got to, it's dry everywhere. They got to seek higher ground. They got to seek better place of nourishment. The cattle in the, on the fields and, you know, in the bushes and so forth. I mean, all the wild animals, they know how, some of them are just wired like that. They know how to migrate, look for times of refreshing. He said, well, the stork in the heaven knows her appointed time. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. That's in Jeremiah 8 and 7. But my people know not the times of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord, the visitations of the Lord. My people don't know it. You know, so, but we must know it. We cannot remain ignorant. We must know the times, you know, that God has promised. First Chronicles, you know, chapter 12, verse 32 tells us about a group of people that understood times and seasons. They knew what God was going to do and was about to do. They were called the children of Issachar. They were men that had understanding of the times. They knew when it was times of refreshing. They knew when it was time to return and seek the Lord. They understood these things. You know, and the Bible says they knew, you know, times of, understood the times to know what Israel ought to do. You know, so when we understand what we ought to do, well, you know, they actually, these people had an advantage over their brethren because of their understanding. Well, what is it that we must do? Well, expectation. The one that we are talking about today. You must be in expectation. There are times in the Bible that we see that, you know, some people, you know, were in expectation. Even some to receive alms. Some people, there were some stories we read in the book of Acts. He said, well, they fastened their eyes expecting to receive something. When Peter and John said, look on us. Well, so the man, you know, fastened his eyes, you know, expecting to receive something from them. Let's read that verse out of Acts chapter 3, you know, and verse 4. You know, I just read a couple of verses before then. You know, so Peter and John went together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. There's something about the number nine that's also significant in scripture. This is the first month, I mean, first day of the month nine. The ninth hour is always an hour of prayer. In the olden early days, and the ninth month is an hour. It's a month of blessing, a month of refreshing, also. But we must seek the Lord, and so they were going into the, you know, in the ninth month. I mean, they were going to the temple at this ninth hour, and then there was a man that was lame from his mother's womb. They put him daily at the gate of the temple. To ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple as an alms. And so Peter, fastening his eyes upon the man with John, said, look on us. You know, over here, look at me. And because the man was expecting This is what he did for a living. He couldn't even walk for a living because he was lame. So he was just there begging for alms. That's all he did every day. So when they said, look on us, so the man fastened his eyes upon them. You know? Yeah. So he looked on them, expecting to receive something from them. Well, he was expecting to receive something, and he did receive something. Well, it wasn't what he was expecting, but it was a whole lot better than what he was expecting. So because every day somebody gave him some alms, maybe some pocket change, some loose change, some money they didn't care about, so they threw his way. Today Peter said, look on us. Look on us. And when the man looked, he was expecting to receive something. You know, and then, you know, the rest of the story. So it's the man that, you know, they healed in the name of the Lord and began to run, to leap, to sing, to shout, and so forth. You know, Jesus wants us, he wanted his people to know, you know the things, you know, that belong to your peace and the things, you know, for your time of visitation. You know, because when people don't know these things, then we will miss out. There is a time of blessing that the Lord is calling. Luke chapter 19, verse 42 is kind of like a lamentation, if you will. You know, it says, well, if you would have known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace and the time of your refreshing. That's what peace means. You know, when you have a lot of trouble and then suddenly there's peace, a time of refreshing. You know, but now they are hid from your eyes because you didn't know and you're not even expecting. You know, and so we got to be in the right mode and right expectation. And expecting something, you know, we got to make sure that the thing that we're expecting doesn't pass us by if we say we're really expecting. There were some people that knew that the Lord was coming the first time, but they were not really looking for him like that. And he came, you know, point blank in their midst, and they missed him. You know, but there were others that did not miss him. You know, there was a couple of people that did not miss him at all. They knew the Lord was coming and the things that the Lord had promised them. And they, you know, they just kept believing the Lord and looking, you know, looking and so forth. There was a man called Simeon in the Bible. There's another woman called Anna. These people, they were waiting for the consolation of Israel, was told. In the book of Luke chapter 2, this man called Simeon in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. You know, because the Holy Ghost was upon him and the Holy Ghost had revealed to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. My goodness. I don't know how many people were favored like that. But this man was favored of God, saying, you will not see death until you've laid your eyes on the Christ. Well, nobody knew exactly when Christ was coming, but this man was giving that promise and he held on to it. He just held on to that thing. I will not see death until I've seen the Christ. Didn't matter how long he had to live before the Christ came. Maybe it would be 50 years, 60 years, 70, 90, 120, it didn't matter. You know, the promise was, you will not see death until you've seen the Lord's Christ. Say, so, wow. And he held on to that thing. You know, so one day when after Christ was born and so forth, and Mary and Joseph brought the child to the temple for to do according as the law of Moses, circumcised and all that stuff, you know. So, present him before the Lord. He said, every male that opened the womb must be presented before the Lord. The law of Moses told them that. So, you know, they brought him also. And then this man was in the temple, you know, at the same time, you know.
And so he comes. Here comes God's living bread coming to the, you know, to the temple. And this man is waiting. And he also came by the Spirit into the temple the same time. And this was something the Lord had promised him, and he was expecting it. And so when they brought in the parents for to do according to the custom of the Lord, this Simeon went up to them and took the child from them. Now he's about to receive an encounter that has been promised him only God knows how long. And be waiting. And he took up the child and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people. God be the glory. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And they were wondering, what in the world is this man talking about? But he was in expectation. And there was also another woman, you know, a prophetess. Anna was her name. She was the daughter of one Phanuel, we're told, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and they had lived with her husband 7 years, you know, from her virginity. She'd been there. And she was a widow now of 84 years. And she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night. She was looking for something. After her husband died many, many years, she just gave herself completely over to the Lord. Always in the temple, day and night, fastings and prayers. You know? And one day, glory to God. Oh, she would set her eyes on the Christ. Now, you know. And here's what she said too. To tell you, to let you know that she was expecting the coming of the Lord. She coming in at that same instance, likewise gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This woman was a powerful witness. Began to tell them that this is what you have been waiting for. He's here now. These were two people, a man and a woman. And God did it like that. That were in expectation. All the rest, the religious leaders of their day, they missed Christ. You know, I mean, he was right there in their midst. They missed him. You know, and he was looking for the Messiah. Till this day, people in Judaism, some of them are still looking for the Messiah. Even though he came, they missed him. But they knew he was coming. They were not exactly expecting him. And they missed him. And let's not miss the Lord. You know, sometimes if we don't set our expectations right, or our expectations are misdirected, we might actually miss the coming of the Lord and what he's doing. There was a man, a powerful man. In fact, Jesus testified of this man. He said, look, there's no one born of women that's like this man. There's nobody like him, Jesus said. His name was John the Baptist, or John. We call him John the Baptist. His name was John, son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. But we call him John the Baptist because that's what he did. And Jesus testified powerfully of him. But this man, he was expecting the Christ up to a point. See? And the Lord had told him, you're going to be the voice to announce the Christ, a voice in the wilderness and so forth, prepare the way of the Lord. And he did it. And he announced the Christ and he said, this is the Lamb of God, sent away to take the sins of the world and so forth, sent to us. But one day, when his expectation was not being set just right, he began to drift. See, so we got to be very, very careful. A powerful, powerful lesson, you know, in this thing. You know, this same man that introduced Christ, he said, look, the Lord told me that on whomever you see the heavens open and the dove, the Spirit descending upon you like the dove, that's the man. And he introduced him. And he said, well, you know,
I must decrease, he must increase. When they were telling him that, look, you know, Jesus is baptizing more than you. Jesus himself didn't quite baptize his disciples. John said, well, you know, doesn't matter. That's who he is. I must decrease while he increases. So let all men go to him. That's fine. That's my job. And he was on a roll for a while. Well, when Herod took him, locked him up in prison, because this man, you know, he called out authority. He called out Herod. You can't have your brother's wife, you know, and all that kind of thing. And Herod took him, put him in a slammer, and was going to kill him. He was there for many days and wasting away there. And Christ, remember, you know, he introduced the Christ. And even naturally speaking, these two were connected. Yeah, second cousins. Because, you know, Elizabeth and Mary were cousins. John and Jesus were second cousins. And they were cousins like that. But Jesus didn't visit him in prison. And Jesus didn't go there to, you know, break him out of prison. Or bail him out or break him out or however. I mean, Jesus could do it. But he didn't do it. Well, for reasons best known to him, he didn't do it. So one day, this man, being in prison now, you know, ascends to Jesus. He said, well, all the things that Jesus are doing, so he called, while he was in prison, called one of his disciples unto him, you know. That's John's own disciple. Say, go check this man out and ask him if he's the Christ. What do you mean? You know, you're the one that introduced him. You know, why are you now asking whether he's the Christ? Well, because now John is sitting in prison. Jesus didn't come and bail him out, break him out, bust him out of there, do whatever, all those things that Jesus could do. Remember, Jesus said, you know, he himself said it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, break those out who are in prison. He said it himself. He quoted Isaiah 61. You know, loose those who are in prison. And so, well, he didn't do that for John. You know, so his expectation began to be misdirected. You know, you say, why do you say that? Well, because when the people came to Jesus that John sent. Well, Jesus said, okay, well, here is how you're going to answer John. Because they came and said, well, are you the one that's coming or should we be looking for another? You already knew he was the one. You know, so Jesus said, well, I tell you what. Go and show John again those things which you see and hear. How that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are blessed, deaf are healed, the rare dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached. I mean, these are all the things that Isaiah said he would do. And in Luke chapter 4, when he went to his synagogue, picked up the book, the scrolls of Isaiah, he read those places out. And he did all those things, you know. And he said, well, go and tell, I mean, John knows the scriptures, go and tell him what you see me do and hear, and then let him decide for himself, you know, by the works. Let the works themselves testify of me, you know, and so forth. Well, and then let him know. But there's one part that Jesus didn't quote. At this part of time, when he was talking to John, he conveniently left that part out. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. John was in prison. Jesus didn't say that part of it. And Jesus didn't do that either. He didn't, well, that he did that spiritually speaking. I mean, many people that were bound and oppressed of the devil, Jesus set them free. Acts 10:38. He healed all that were sick that were brought to him. Matthew 8:17, and so on and so forth. But in this case, he did not lose John out of prison. So John is wondering. He said, well, you know, but look at what Jesus said, this is how you will really know that, you know, Jesus said it. But Jesus gave a good testimony of the man anyway.
You know, I mean, that's amazing. The man that was just doubting you, Jesus still said, look, who did you go out to see? I'm going to tell you about this John. Who did you go out to see? Yeah, you know, he said a lot of things. He said, look, there's nobody like this man. This is the man. You got one foot in the Old Testament, one foot in the New. This is the man. Nobody like him. Nevertheless, those that come into the kingdom, partly from the preaching of this man, and from the work the Lord himself will do, well, they'll be greater than John the Baptist. You know, but he said, well, and even if you can receive it, this is that Elijah that was for to come, and so on and so forth. You know, he said a lot of things about this man. You know, but he also said something else. You know, something else that he said. Blessed is he whosoever, you know, shall not be offended in me. Why in the world would he say that? I mean, you know, because the expectation of John was a little bit derailed at that time. You know, he had been thinking the Lord would do this thing, but now that the Lord didn't do it, he's wondering, you know, why is it so, and so on and so forth. Was he really the one? You can read that for yourself in Matthew 11, chapter 6. Let me just read it to you in case you're wondering, what is he talking about? Did Jesus really say that? Of course he said. You know, so when here's what he said. Go show John again these things that you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, death are raised, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Didn't say anything about prison this time around. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Isaiah didn't say that part. Jesus is saying, putting his own part in here. Why in the world will he be talking about whosoever is not offended in me? Because Jesus discerned at that time that John had begun to drift from his expectation. Nevertheless, he gave a glowing testimony of the man. So don't let your expectation drift. John started out in the spirit. At the end, he began to question the same thing. There are many people like that. You know, we started out in the spirit, and because the Lord delayed his coming, wow, everybody went asleep. Story of the virgins. Because, you know, they all started out. I had to go and meet the bridegroom that's coming. Everybody was excited, you know, but because the bridegroom delayed his coming, long delay, well, they all slumbered and slept. Every last one of them, whether foolish or wise, you know, but thankfully some of the wives were prepared. You know, the foolish were not well prepared. The wise were well prepared, but they all slumbered and slept. Sometimes when we're waiting for something, long hope, weary at the heart. Some of us have been waiting for the coming of the Lord since the 70s. We have heard about it. And, you know, after people waited and waited and waited a while and the Lord didn't come, a lot of people say, what? To your tents, O Israel. And some of them went back, you know, and to their old ways even. Well, we talked about dogs the other day. A dog has gone back to her vomit. The pig to her wallowing in the mire, even after they were cleansed. God has no pleasure in those. He said, my soul shall not have pleasure in those that draw back unto perdition. They go back. No. Jesus said, look, put your hands on the plow. You look back. You're not fit. Luke 9 and 62. So, don't let your expectation drift. You know, let your expectation drift. Maybe what you are expecting is open heavens. And then the first day you come there, wow, you don't really see heavens open like that. Well, yeah, because, you know, you yourself, you're not even ready. Others may see, but you won't see it if you're not ready. You know, yeah. The Lord openeth his hand and satisfied the desire of every living thing. It's already there. I set a table. It's like, what do you see? You know, come eat at the table. Some people will see something. Some people will see nothing.
you know, because they are not expecting and they are not in tune. You know, you got to be in the right frequency to receive the things of the Spirit. It's kind of like a radio. You got to tune it to the right station. The radio station is broadcasting all the time. But you may not be hearing it until you are tuned to the correct frequency. And sometimes if you are not well tuned, you know, you're just a couple of hertz away removed from the place where the station is, you may be hearing the station with a lot of noise. a lot of noise, you know, that interference that you'll be hearing because you're not well tuned into that station. Well, let our expectations be properly tuned, for the Lord is going to visit with his people. The problem, though, is what if some did not believe? In the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 3, we're told that when God promised some great things, well, and some did not believe, well, shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? God forbid, he said. So, whoever doesn't believe, they're the ones that are going to miss out. God's going to do whatever God's going to do. You know, so let's make sure that we are not like these people in Romans 3 and 3 that did not believe. We will believe and we will experience God's visitation. If you had known the days, the things of your peace, Jesus said, if you only had known it, you know, but because you didn't know it, then you missed the day of your visitation. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's know and let's be expecting the things that God has promised. First of all, you can't know unless God said. But if God said and you still didn't know, then that's a problem. I've always said that, look, a promise is not a promise unless you know what was promised. You know, that's fundamental. But many people don't know that, actually. They say, oh, God's promises, yeah, are able to make us partakers of the divine nature. Unless you know what those promises are, unless you understand what those promises are, and unless you actually align yourself with the conditions around those promises, you may experience nothing, even though it's said. So number one, you got to know what God said. You know, because you don't know. If I promised something and you didn't know that I promised, like when you didn't hear when I said it, then to you, it was not a promise because you didn't even hear it. So you didn't know it. So first, you got to know what he has promised. And I've been reading it to you for days, what God has promised, you know, for this conference. You know, what has he promised? Well, you can read Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14 to the end. That's all he has promised for us in this conference. A lot of things. You can read Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 to 28. These are things that he has promised for this conference. You can read in the book of Haggai, you can read in the book of Joel, Joel chapter 2, 23 to 26, I will restore. You can read what he promised in Haggai, and when he said, look, go up to the mountain, bring wood, come and build, and I will be glorified in it. I will take pleasure in it. You can read that. Those are things that he promised. Why he promised so much? Well, yeah, because he's not only able to do, he's able to exceed even those things. He has the capacity. You know, sometimes people promise things and really can't carry them out or go through with it because we have limited capacity. Parents even promise their children stuff, and sometimes they can't meet those expectations. And little children, though, I guarantee you, they have the right expectation. Once you tell them something, that's they're going to hold on to that thing until you do it. So you better come through. But they're going to keep asking you. But you said we're going to the mall. You know, because you said so. They knew it and going to hold on to it. So you better make sure you come through for them. You know, but God's not, you know, limited in his capacity.
our own ability sometimes, even though when we mean well, circumstances may arise that, actually restrain us from being able to come through on our promises. Well, that's not God. He's able to make good on whatever he said. He has shown that the 24 elders are there to tell us that all the time we've been around him, we've never seen, they're called the cloud of witnesses. We've never seen his word fail. Everything he said, it's always been, no matter how long it took. And for them, it didn't take long at all because, you know, they're in the presence of God. There's no night or day. It's all the same to them. It seems as if he said it yesterday and it's happening today. That's the way it looks like to them. And sometimes for us, though, it's night and day, long drawn out, dragged out, and so forth. Well, but you must set your expectations. Stay right there with it and don't give an inch until you get what you are believing God for. Expectation is, a great ingredient that is necessary, when God promises a visitation. Sanctification is necessary. Intimacy is necessary. Revival to come, we must have repentance. We covered all those things a few weeks ago. And then expectation is the part that I'm talking about today. You must be expecting. Even Jesus till today still has some expectation. The Bible says he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, expecting till all his enemies be made his footstool. And the last one of them is death. He has already conquered death, but there's a timing in God's mind, and he knew it's coming, but it's not quite there yet. But he knew it's coming, so he's there, and he knows, and he has promised it, and it's coming. So we must have expectation. Expectation. Whatever we are believing God for, we must also have expectation. Let's read about Jesus' own expectation. Some quotes in the Bible about it. In the book of Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, because God said it to Christ, the Father said it to the Son. Well, from that point on, he has been expecting it. And it's going to happen because he's expecting it. What exactly was told to him? Well, so sit down at my right hand until I make all your enemies to be your footstool. Well, all his enemies, including death. Well, the Bible calls it in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. It will happen. Jesus already destroyed death. But the fulfillment of it is not, global yet. But it will be. Because he's sitting there until his enemies be made his footstool. And so, that's exactly what's going to happen. And that's what, that's what the Lord said. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13, and Acts 2, they refer to the same thing. Quoting back, what was said of him in Psalm 110. And Jesus himself referred to it in one place. He said, why do you call Christ the son of David? He said, well, because the scripture says so. I say, okay. Well, if he's the son of David, Jesus had a way with words. If he's the son of David, how come that David then said, the Lord said to my Lord? How can David call him Lord if he's his son? And everybody shut up. They couldn't answer him a word. But he knew what he was talking about. He knew he was the son of David. And he was right about that. But he also knew he was David's Lord, but the other people didn't understand it. So he just said something to just confuse them. he said, well, but he explained it. He said, I am the root and the offspring of David. Yeah, the root means he was before David, and the offspring means he is after David. And only the Lord can do that. be like that, how can you be the root and also be the offspring? The root comes before, the offspring comes later, but you can be both. Wow. You can read that for yourself in Revelation 22 and verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. And the bride and money star, that finally explains it. You know, and Jesus was referring to it. David called him Lord and just be his son there. But he is his son and he is his Lord. That's right. Glory to God. So expectation is important. Jesus was expecting it. People are expecting in the scriptures. The story in John chapter 5, powerful story. A great number of impotent folk waiting, expecting the moving of the water. You know, all of them were in expectation. You know, I've seen things like that when people camp out. You know, before COVID, you know, this thing's weighing down a little bit during COVID because of, you know, they want people, you know, contact from people and so on. But before COVID in those days, Black Friday here in the United States, I mean, that's like the day after Thanksgiving, you know, Christmas shopping opens, stores open. I mean, people camp out at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the parking lot waiting for the store to open. The store is not open yet for another 4 or 5 hours, but they're there. They want to be the first to get in because there's some deals. That you're going to get. It's a one-time deal. Happen only once a year. And you're going to get those deals. You can get some electronics that are normally sold for $600. On that day, maybe you get it for $250 or something. And so people just, they'll do anything. Some people take their pillows there. Camp out in front of the stores all night long, waiting for the store to open its doors. That's expectation. You know, these people, this great number of impotent folk that were there, you know, in John chapter 5, they all were waiting. You know, there was something they were waiting for them. They knew. It was, you know, the Bible said, you know, they were waiting for the moving of the water. That's expectation. So they knew that at some point, they didn't know exactly what day, but they knew it's around this season. So everybody camped out, edging a little closer to the water, wanting to. You can't get in too soon. It's not going to work. You can't get in late. It's not going to work. You got to be the first. So everybody edging, shuffling, struggling, you know, trying to be the one as closest to that water. As soon as we see this staring, and sometimes while they are waiting, they'll fall asleep. But they've been waiting for days. They'll fall asleep. In the meantime, somebody will get up and creep a little closer. If they spot and say, take your... Go back to your place in line or whatever, you know. But somebody's edging a little closer, Everybody expecting, they want to be the first to get in there. But there was some kind of expectation. There was something that I built over the years that when this thing happens, look, if you happen to be the first to get in there, you will be healed no matter what. You could be a cripple. A lot of these people are crippled. You will be made absolutely brand new. It could be anything, deaf, dumb, blind, whatever. To be the first, you're going to receive your healing. So there was this expectation that was built, anticipation. I pray that the Lord will build anticipation like that in our hearts. And we've been putting out some advertisements and flyers and little things here and there. Say, anticipate. It's around the corner. You know, different things like that, you know. When your heart is built, the times of refreshing, you know, and I'm going to spell out some of these times of refreshing in a minute, but after just talking about this expectation, and it's not just hype, you know, this, you know, sometimes there's a lot of hype, you know, it's concert, people put a lot of hype and so forth. No, this is not hype. The presence of God is real. It's a promise. It's a reality. You know, let me begin to remind us. Again, we covered it multiple times, but it's important. Let me begin to remind us again of, you know, the reality of what God said that he would do. You know, the reality. He says, consider your ways. You know, well, because, you know, you're just lackadaisical about everything. Consider your ways. This is Haggai, you know, the prophet. He called them out. Chapter 1, verse 7. But go now up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Get engaged. Get involved. That's the instruction. But the promise that followed the instruction is what we must put our expectation in. If you've been preparing for it, then here's a promise. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. That's the promise. And so we got to latch on to that promise. Now, what's the pleasure? What pleasure? Well, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, I think I quoted that yesterday or the other day, it is your Father's good pleasure. What pleasure? To give you the kingdom and the things that accompany the kingdom. And the Lord said, I will take pleasure in it. He's going to do it. I'm connecting the dots for us. These promises are not just hype. This is real. It's a reality of what he promised. I will take pleasure in it. What else did he say he will? Where else did he talk about taking pleasure? And what else will he be doing, taking pleasure in what he said he would do? Why will he take pleasure in it? You know, well, first of all, we got to do it the way he said it. You know, do all my pleasure, he said, Isaiah 46 and verse 10. He said, remember the former things of old. I am God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. I'm the one that declared the end from the beginning. Yeah. We haven't even started this conference. The Lord's been telling us that you shall return with joy. The lasting joy will be upon your heads. He's declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done. He already declared it, because as far as he's concerned, it's already done. To us, doesn't seem like it's done yet, but for him, it's already done. It. He said that, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Huh, that's right. Well, part of his pleasure, now he said he will do all of it, but part of his pleasure, he said, well, if you come and you do all these things and build with me, I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified in it. Now, that's part of his pleasure. And he said he would do it. So we're expecting him to do just that. That's part of the expectation part. That's something he promised. Again, he promised, we read this in Ezekiel 12. Verses 25 through 28, we pray where he said, look, enough of saying that it's going to be still for a long time. It's a long time. People are always saying the vision is prolonged. The war is prolonged. You know, we've been talking about it forever. I mean, we've always been talking about it. Even the people that are expecting the coming of the Lord, people are expecting emerging of the sons of God, people are expecting great things. We're always talking in the future sense. All of it. Sons of God shall do this. Sons of God shall do that. Glory of God shall come. The midnight hour, the pillar of fire will return. I mean, we're always in the future. Always talking about what God's going to do in the future. That's it. All the promises are always future. You know, well, the Lord said, enough of that already. you know, it is time for you to enter into the reality of my promises. That's what he's saying. This word of prolong the days, the visions for a time afar off, prolong, enough of that. It's time for you to enter into the reality of it. Glory to God. The words that I have spoken shall no longer be prolonged. You know, we've been talking about this thing forever. We're always talking about it. But now let's live in it. L-I-V-I-N-G. Live in it. Inside of it. We're living it. We're walking in it. We're experiencing it for real now. Not just future. Well, even this September to remember it was future at one time. So the beginning of this year, we're talking about it. But now it's here. So some of the things he promised. The words I have spoken shall no longer be prolonged. Your days have I spoken, and your days will I fulfill it, saith the Lord. Some things that the Lord will fulfill for us. The end of the thing is Isaiah 51 verse 11 and Isaiah 35 verse 10. That's the end of it. The end of the September to remember event is those two verses, especially Isaiah 51 11. Therefore shall the ransom of the Lord return. You will return back to your homes with joy and with gladness. That's the end of it. Yeah, everlasting, you will obtain. That means there's something you are going to get. You will obtain, you know, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. You know, there is something that we must obtain in this conference. By faith, we understand, and the elders obtained a good report. You also must obtain gladness and joy. You will obtain it. It's coming. Praise God. You know, now, obtain also means that there is a part, there is a responsibility on your part. Come and get it. You're going to get it. You're going to take it. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 12, he said, look, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom is now preached, but there are some people that will obtain it by the force of spiritual arms. You know, that's how you're going to obtain it. You know, it's not just going to drop in your laps. You're going to have to obtain it. When God promised Elijah the rain, he said, go show yourself to Ahab. But today I will send rain upon the earth. It's been 3.5 years already. He said, today. Elijah said, okay. But after all the drama and everything that he did, the Mount Carmel showdown and all, and he told Ahab to go get up, get you up, eat and drink. The Lord is sending rain. There was no rain. There was no rain in sight. Elijah had to obtain that rain, had to contend for that rain. Well, that's what we've been doing, contending for these promises. Wow. But you will obtain gladness and joy. That's the summary and the end of it. Say, I am the Lord that declares the end from the beginning. Well, he has already declared the end from the beginning. But what are the things that we will obtain? Well, let's round it up with this. I did tell you that, you know, all the days leading up to this conference, we'll be speaking of these things. Yes, rising early and speaking them so that, you know, nobody will have any excuse to forget, building expectations. This is the promise. This is the word that the Lord promised. We've read it 5 or 6 times. I'm going to read it again in Zephaniah chapter 3. These are all the things that we should be expecting. And we want you to take it literally speaking. Don't try to spiritualize anything here. Stick it as it says it. You know, you can spiritualize it, but also take the physical meanings as well. It is time for us to be glad and to rejoice with all the heart. That's the first thing. Well, why should you rejoice when you are still in burdens and still distressed? Well, because the Lord had done it. Isaiah 44:23 say, be glad, shout for joy, ye heavens, ye lower parts of the earth even. Everybody, every tree, every forest, all of you, shout for joy, because the Lord has already done it. Taken away thy judgments. Cast out thine enemy. Now this is speaking prophetically, but he's saying it and using it as though it's in the past. He summarized it, then he went into the detail of it. The summary is, the Lord has already done it, so rejoice. It starts out with the end before he actually tells you the thing to rejoice about. So the end is for you to rejoice because the Lord has done it. Well, here are all the things that he said he would do. It shall be said in that day. He said, look, you will see evil no more. That's one thing that you should be expecting. What are the evils, you know, that have plagued us? One prophet one time, Zechariah, he was looking and he saw four horns marching. He said, well, what are these horns? And the angel told him that these are the horns that have battered down Jerusalem and the people of God. And what are those horns? Well, you can call them bands of wickedness. Yeah. Those horns are described in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Four horns that are described, all the things that have oppressed the people for years. He calls them bands of wickedness. That's number one. Number two, heavy burdens. Number three, oppression. And number four, numerous evil yokes. The devil has used to batter down the people. So, well, these are the horns that have battered down my people. Then he looked again. And then he saw four carpenters coming with hammers, anvil, and everything. Oh, what do you call carpenters coming to do? So, well, see those horns that are battered down the people of God? Now, these carpenters are coming to fray them, pummel them. In other words, oppress the oppressor. That's right. Ah, you say, yeah, spoil the spoiler. Glory to God. Batter down the ones that have battered down God's people. Now, so he looked and he saw. And Zephaniah is telling us also that, look, the end is you will see evil no more. The evil that plagued you, the bands of wickedness, you know, the heavy burdens, a failure I put upon you so that you won't be able to serve the Lord with gladness. Those oppressing and oppressing spirits, oppression and depression and everything, the devil I put upon you, and all kinds of numerous yokes. Well, the Lord said, you shall see evil no more. That's a great expectation to believe the Lord for. But remember, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect? Absolutely not. I pray that all will believe. For you will see evil no more, saith the Lord. You will see evil no more. That's one thing to expect. So, you can write it down. Be counting these things. Number one, he said, for you will see evil no more. So, if you take that as number one, that's a great one, because that covers so many things, you know. And then you say, well, because of that, don't be afraid. Don't let your hands be slack. Don't letting your hands be slack mean don't be discouraged. You keep on believing. Day one, be there. Day two, be there. Day three, don't be slack. You know, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. That's another thing to expect. What are the things? Say, our God will come and he will save us. What do you want him to save you from? Well, whatever. You know, why do we call his name Jesus? Because Matthew 1:21 says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. You know, that's what you will call his name, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save us from all kinds of things. Sin is what brought all this evil upon us. And our God, he will come and he will save us. There will even be salvation of souls. Salvation for your families and your loved ones. You can believe it too. And you know, the Lord will do it. These are all the things that you should expect. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Can you imagine that you open your eyes and you actually see the Lord rejoicing? Glory to God. It'll be something. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you in singing. I mean, I believe that there's going to be praise unlimited. And a lot of things that the Lord will be doing. And here's what he said. I will gather them that are of a sorrowful assembly. There's about four different things we've counted so far. You know. And all the people, bring them in, he said. Everyone that has there's been a reproach in your life that has been a burden. Come on in. What is the reproach? Reproach is something that people look narrowly down upon you for. You know, what is that reproach? Well, the Lord said, it's been a burden to you, but I will undo all that afflict you. Isn't that wonderful? At that time, behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict you. He said, well, you've been reading that for days. Yes, I'm reading it for days because we must read it. And we are going to let it sink into us. This is what to expect. And I will save her that halteth. You know, I'm taking this literally speaking. Literally. In other words, you know, you can't walk properly. Whatever is making you to not be able to do that, the Lord said, I'll take care of it. I will gather even those that are driven out. You say, I'm like a owl, you know, in the desert, a pelican in the wilderness, a sparrow on the housetop all alone. Well, the Lord said, I'm going to take care of that. And I will get them praise and fame in every place where you have been put to shame before. The people that have said, aha, aha, or whatever is going on, and where is their God, and so forth. These same people will now turn around and say, see what the Lord has done for them. Ha! Glory to God. These are things that he promised. You say, God will do all of that in 3 days? No, God has already done all of that. We are the ones going to experience that. You know, yeah. He's already done it. To God be the glory. Wherever you've been put to shame, he said, I will give you praise and I will give you fame. At that time will I bring you again, saith the Lord, gather you, or to make you a name. I'm claiming that also for walking with God. Praise the Lord. This thing started as a small beginning, but who knows but what the Lord will visit and leave a blessing. God be the glory. Praise among the people of the earth. And at that time, you will see it when I shall have turned back your captivity before your very eyes. Captivity is a negative thing that holds you back. Anything that holds you back from reaching your full potential in the Lord, having full kingdom expression in your life, that's captivity. And the Lord said, I will turn it around for you, saith the Lord. These are things to expect. So, these are the times of refreshing that are coming from the presence of the Lord in the September to Remember event, whether you are there physically or associated virtually, connection through the, you know, however means we broadcast that. When you are connected, it will reach out to you wherever you are. Praise the Lord. The effect of this will be for many days after. That's why it's called September to Remember. Now we're in the month of September. Lo and behold, this is the first day of the month of September. Now, it's not just those 3 days or 4 days that will be to remember. It's a whole month. The Lord said it will be a September to remember. So, in fact, things are already happening. God is cooking something. Can you smell it? I can smell it. Oh, God is cooking this thing. It's a delicious smell. And he's about to serve it up. Can you smell the aroma of the thing? Yeah. Yeah. And God will beautify, you know, God says, I didn't even smell in the assembly. You know, remember, Jesus, he called the rose of Sharon. That means when you come into the assembly, God can even spread that aroma, you know, because it's the rose of Sharon. It's something, sweet smell sacrifice, everything. When God loves what you're doing, say, I'll take pleasure in it. Comes in there, it smells really nice. Glory to God. I will take pleasure in it, saith the Lord. I will save her that halteth. I will undo all that afflict you. And all the reproach that have been a burden unto you, I will remove it, saith the Lord. in one day. And I said, I will improve the iniquity of the land. Well, in that day, the Lord said, I will undo all that affliction. So these are the expectations, the times of refreshing that we are looking for. Now, you know, I believe that even out of this conference shall come forth the joy of them, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord, the voice of merriment, the voice of them that shall say, ah, the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, he said again in the book of Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. This is another thing that we can believe the Lord for. You know, he said, well, I will make them, you know, even though they look few at first, well, the effect of it shall be great. They shall not even be few, he said. God be the glory. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that shall make merry. Out of September to remember shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. Well, we started out the nucleus. But God said, I will multiply and shall not be few. And I also will glorify. How many times is he going to say, I will give them glory, I'll give them praise, I'll give them fame? You know, the glory that you have given to me, I'll give to them. God is the one that's doing it. We can't glorify. No man takes this glory or honor unto himself. God is the one that said it. And if he said it, I will not frustrate it. I will receive it. You know, I'll be glorifying them and they shall not be small. Their congregation also shall be established before me, and I will punish everything that's been oppressing them, said the Lord. Glory to God. Do you know that God has a way that he will even establish businesses? That's right. You know, your business may be struggling. God is going to make it flourish. So their nobles shall be of themselves. Their governors shall proceed from them. You know, you will be the, you know, people that hire the people of God will be people of God. You know, and you know, God has a way to do these things, to make these things happen. It's coming, you know, and God is giving us vision, you know, to draw these things out. The deep calls unto the deep. And you have real faith. You can make things happen. And God is not even sparing this faith. He's dishing it out because we are believing God. How do you get it? We're soaking ourselves in the word of God. You'll hear some more about that, you know, in the conference. And we know what he promised. And it's for real. And it's going to happen. So praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Many other promises like that, the Lord will come. The Lord will establish you, cause you to increase, you and your children, and so many things that we're believing God for. We'll hear more about it to the glory and praise of God. So get ready. Get ready. Be in anticipation for the times of refreshing that shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, and if you can take time out to just come, that'd be great too. You know, come ye yourselves apart. That's where the word retreat came from. People start saying they're doing retreat. You know, come ye yourselves apart and rest for desert place forever. Wow. Desert place. It just so happens that Arizona is a desert place. and that's what the Lord said. I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers to spring forth in the desert place. Well, just so happens that Arizona is a desert place. So some things might actually literally spring forth. Because why did he call out the desert place like that? Well, it is a desert place after all. Did you not say it in your word? This is how we are praying. I'm praying. Did you not say in your word that I will make rivers even in the desert place? Didn't you say it? I said, yeah, I said it. Okay, well, then do it then. Praise the Lord. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, times of refreshing are coming from the presence of the Lord. Let's get ready. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord. Expectation is building up in our hearts. Times of refreshing are coming from the presence of the Lord. We are believing God. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Well, we know that whatsoever the Lord doeth shall be forever. He can't add to it or take away from it. God's already settled it in the heavens. Let it also be settled in our hearts. God be the glory. Lord, we are expecting all these things that we have read in the word of God. Expecting.
And our expectation, the Bible says, in Numbers 23 and 18, our expectation shall not be cut off. Glory to God. This is what we are expecting, times of refreshing. And so it is spoken. So let it be written among the living. And so let it be done. It is so spoken, so written, and so done. In the name of Jesus. And as you have spoken in my ears, the Lord said also, in Numbers 14 and 28, even so will I do unto you. Lord, we have spoken back your word in your ears, and we continue to speak it every day. So let it be. We thank you for the weather. We prayed for rain before the days of the event. Let it rain and cool down the place. Well, there's been rain. Rain is even so much. It's flooding in some places. The rain is coming. It's a sign that the Lord is answering our prayer. However we pray, he's doing it. So, well, let there be rain a few days before. And then let the rain hold its peace during the event. Well, it is happening, and so it will be. To God be the glory. The rain will cause it to cool down some. Hallelujah. And then we'll be going into it. And the Lord will bring us out with joy. Everlasting joy. We'll obtain gladness and joy. And sorrow and mourning will flee away. All the things that undo you, that afflict you, the Lord will undo. In the name of Jesus. God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory as we step into the last few days or few hours, couple of days now to go. Already we're on the verge of something unique and extraordinary. Splendors of heaven are about to be poured out upon us. God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.